Good to be here with you this evening. And we have a handout for the session we'll be considering tonight. So if you did not get a handout as you came in, if you would lift your hand and somebody will be coming through the doors here momentarily. There he is. Hello, Jason, with a handout for you this evening. And as he's passing those out, let me mention something lest I forget. I forgot my announcement note and my prayer bulletin in my office, but the Lord brought this to mind as we were singing there. Sandy Prim asked me if I would share that for this Saturday, we are hosting the IACS Junior High Tournament Soccer for the young men and volleyball for the young ladies, and so we need people helping in various capacities, and Sandy still had two slots to fill as of late this afternoon. And these would be just, I think, taking the gate as people come in. One of them is 8 to 10 Saturday morning. The other is, I believe, 11:30 until 2 on Saturday midday. So if that is something that you would be available to do and you're not already on her list signed on to do that, Sandy would be down with the Awanas this evening, and maybe after the service you could swing by and catch her or give her a ring and let her know if you'd be able to help out in that capacity. But just covering some of the bases, and she may have some other things, shift people around, but in any event, if you're able to help, we would certainly appreciate that, and we trust young folks will have a good day on Saturday here with the games going on. I understand it's going to be wet and not too warm, so the guys playing soccer are going to be in for a fun time, and likewise the faithful and devoted fans. All right, let me have you turn your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 5. Once again, we're just going to go back and read kind of the text that last time we touched on, elaborated on a little bit, but just as kind of a starting point, kind of a metaphor the Lord gave, an illustration about the matter of soul winning. So we are in just a short series here about becoming fishers of men. And originally I thought we'd maybe just do this in about four sessions. Now I'm thinking we'll do just a couple more so that I'm not quite so compulsive about packing so much in. But we'll just kind of wrap this up. It's not exhaustive. My intention is more to just encourage and kind of exhort us to be serious about this matter of reaching people with the gospel. We are scheduled to have Brother Jeff Musgrave here with us in June. He teaches on alternating years a soul-winning course for Baptist World Mission. So the mission board requires anybody who is coming on as a new missionary with them to go through this week-long course in an outreach that entails then a lot of time going out as well as a lot of instruction. And so we just host that. Brother Jeff does that for the mission board. But I am certain that if you were of a mind to be a part of that and you were able to carve out a week of time to really invest in that, that we could get you connected in on that course. You know, it's typically not a large group of missionaries, and so they would probably welcome some more folks to be a part of that. And Brother Jeff has been teaching soul-winning classes for as long as I have known him, which, amazingly, the years go by, so it's been a while. And, is very effective at helping people and encouraging folks in that regard. So this is just kind of a little whetting of the appetite, and hopefully something that will just remind us of the importance in this particular area of our Christian walk. Let me read here verses 4 through 11 in Luke 5. Told that when Jesus had left speaking, he said to Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, for a catch." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came. And they filled both ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And so what we have here in this account, we see it in Matthew, we see it in Mark alike, Jesus with these fishermen going to them, calling upon them to no longer just be fishers of fish, but to be fishers of men. So that kind of imagery there is something that the Lord chose to use, especially for those men, because it would have been a vivid, impacting message to them. But I think it is for us as well. And so this is what we'll give our attention to here again this evening. Just the idea of launching out into the deep, letting down the net in the idea of just getting among those who need to hear the gospel and giving them the gospel. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful that you have saved each one here who has trusted in the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for the promise of eternal life to all who will believe. We're thankful, Father, that you give us the privilege and also the responsibility to share the gospel with others. You could send an angel, the rocks could cry out. You could just impress upon folks' souls the truth of the gospel, and yet your plan in this age is that we who have trusted in you would be your ambassadors, would be your spokespeople, that we might share what you have done in our lives and the truth of what you promise to all who will believe. And so we pray, Father, that you would help us to become faithful fishers of men. Use this session tonight and a couple more that we'll have just to be a help, an encouragement, and a challenge to each of us, that we would be more faithful, more effective in reaching lost sinners with the gospel. Ask your blessing on this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First couple of things, I got to make sure I remember what I put on your handout. First couple of things on our handout really are just a review from last time. But I mentioned last time, you know, that there's generally kind of three avenues of reaching out with the gospel. One is among people we already know, established relationships, family members, neighbors, friends, those that we have some sort of a connection with. Another is just through kind of systematic outreach, just going out with the intention of engaging people in conversation, maybe giving them some literature, sharing the gospel with them, if they'll allow us to do that. We call it a lot of times visitation, soul winning. But it's just a purposeful intent to go out, as Acts 20:20 says, from house to house in just trying to reach people and share with them what Christ has done in our lives. And then the third is just sowing and watering in everyday life. You know, letting the Lord bring people across our paths just through the normal course of life. And being sensitive to that and open and willing and burdened to reach out, if it's just giving a tract, if it's speaking a word, whatever it might be, but just in the incidental avenues of life, reaching out with the gospel. And I just, I'll probably repeat this a time or two again before we're done, but you know, we all ought to be involved in all of that. I mean, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was His earthly ministry, His earthly mission, obviously, ultimately to die on the cross for our sins, but in a practical sense, during those years of ministry, His goal was to present Himself to others, share the truth of how people could have their sins forgiven, how they could know they have eternal life. And if we are Christians, those who are to be little Christs, if you will, imitators of Him, followers of His, then we ought to do just as He exhorted His first generation disciples to do, and that's become fishers of men. In the illustration here, Jesus starts out telling Peter to launch out into the deep. And so last time we talked about just that idea of getting among people who need to hear the gospel and being sensitive to those around us to that regard. And the first thought is, you know, as you have an occasion to speak with somebody, is make some sort of a connection. We talked about different ideas of how to do that and try to move the conversation in hopes of getting an opportunity to witness. We talked about sharing your testimony of salvation, talking about what it was like before you were saved, how God brought the gospel into your life, how He saved you, how He reached out to you, what you understood, and then how that has changed your life. And I think I mentioned that, you know, in the course of giving your testimony, it is a good thing to try to kind of, as a point of conclusion, give the person that reality, confess to them that you are assured, you know for sure that you have eternal life. We want that to kind of grip their soul. There's many people out there who think, well, maybe, I wonder, I don't know if you can know, they have all those thoughts, but you kind of want to leave them with, wow, here is somebody who knows. You know, now, they may think you can't know or whatever, and hopefully you'll get the opportunity to express that to them, but you want them to have that idea of, you know, this person's pretty willing to tell what happened to them, and they seem pretty sure that God is at work in their lives. And if you conclude that way, then you can kind of lead into what some soul-winning plans call the key question. Doesn't matter what you call it. Doesn't even matter how you articulate it. But, you know, something along these lines where you now take, you've given your testimony, you've told them, I know for sure that my sins are forgiven and that I have eternal life, and then you turn to them and you say, you know, has anything like that ever happened to you? Do you know for sure that if you were to die today or 5 years or 10 years from now, do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you'd go to heaven and have eternal life with Jesus? I mean, again, it isn't the words. It isn't exactly how you frame that question. But it's the idea of you've testified of what Christ has done for you. And now you want to ask them, you know what, has He ever done that for you? And kind of get that question out there. And it's helpful because if they're willing to respond, and then the way in which they respond can be very illuminating, so you kind of know where they're at. If the person says, you know, I don't know if you can know that for sure. They might say, I've never thought about that. They might say, well, yeah, I think I'm going to hell. You know, who knows what the answer will be? But, you know, that gives you some sense of where they're at, what their exposure to the gospel has been, what they're thinking about right now. And you might even then just go on to ask them, well, you know, if they say, well, I think I'd go to heaven, you know, well, why is that? Or what are you trusting in? Or what do you think it is that would make it possible for someone to say that that's what they think? I mean, I've said it, but what do you think it is? And again, that gives some insight. If they say, well, I think you got to go to church. I think you got to, you know, be a good person. I think you have to be baptized. You know, well, now you kind of know what their frame of reference is. If they say, well, you got to believe in Jesus, but you also got to do this, now you kind of know what their frame of reference is. And plus, it gives them an opportunity. You've done some talking, they do some talking. And you listen and you kind of take it in, and then you're just kind of gently responding to what they have to say. And if they say, you know, no, I don't know that, or I don't think you can know that. You know, a good verse to share with them is 1 John 5:13. It's in your notes there. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And tell them, you know, the Bible says you can know. God says it really plainly there. You know, and then you want to share with them how you can know. You know, you follow on with a question, well, could I show you what the Bible says about how you can know that? And, you know, people sometimes will shut you down. Or they'll say, you know, I don't have time right now, or, well, I don't really want to talk. And that's fine. And you just graciously say, well, thanks, I appreciate it, you know, whatever, and maybe leave them with a gospel track. But, you know, a lot of times they'll engage in conversation for a little bit, you know, especially if you've established a connection there. And you've had, you know, some friendly exchange, and you know, they feel a little bit like they can trust that what you're going to say isn't going to be too off the wall. It might be something of interest to them. So that's what we're trying to do. Is just get to an opportunity whereby by sharing what Christ has done for us and sharing that in a confident, not an arrogant, but a confident, positive way, and kind of ask them where they're at in that regard. And then based on how they answer, looking for the opportunity to say, you know, could I show you here? Just take a few minutes. And if you say just take a few minutes, then you best just take a few minutes. Okay? If you know, if you say, well, I might, you know, maybe 15 minutes or so, you know, okay, then honor that and think along those lines. But, you know, ask them, would it be all right? And once they've said, yeah, that would be okay, now at least for a little while, they've kind of told you, I'm willing to listen to what you have to say. They've kind of given you permission to maybe monopolize the conversation for a few minutes and kind of walk through some things from the Bible, if you have a Bible, if you have a tract, whatever, something to kind of show them even or kind of help them walk through it. You know, and maybe it's just standing in conversation. You don't have something with you and you're not in a position to sit down, that's fine. But you know, you've said, could I share this with you? And now you follow through on that regard. And you know, when that person says, yes, you can, you know, it's a glorious thing. I mean, you just feel like, yeah, the door has just been thrown wide open to share the gospel of Christ. And we ought to look for those opportunities and launch out into the deep and just look to get to that point where a person says, you know, I'm willing to let you share that with me. So now what we want to talk about tonight is the matter of giving the gospel, of letting down the net, if you will. Okay, we're just kind of casting the gospel out there and hoping that that the Lord will bring the fish into the net, as it were. Just as He did there for Peter and James and John in terms of physical fish, now in the spiritual fishing expedition. And so if God gives you that privilege, you know, then let me just give some guidelines here in sharing the gospel with people. The first is, and I put some blanks there just to help you stick with me on this, remember that God is the one who changes hearts, not you. Some of us are timid. Some of us are natural-born debaters. Okay? The point of giving the gospel is not to debate. It's not to argue. It's not to impress, to force, to compel, to trap them with just such a concrete argument that how can they possibly reject it? That's not the point. You know, it's just to simply share the good news of Jesus Christ and realize that God is the one who changes hearts. And that's where, you know, I tend to be a little more loosely fitted, I guess, to a plan of salvation, to a gospel presentation. Because, you know, I don't want to come off like a well-trained salesman. You know, So even if you go through and do a lot of studying and preparation, realize that, you know what, it isn't some plan, some structuring of things. I'll give you some suggested outline points and some ideas, but, you know, the fact is, we're just there as ambassadors, as representatives, as someone who is there to speak with love and compassion and concern, and it's God's Spirit that brings the conviction. It's God's Spirit that opens people's eyes. It's God's Spirit that prompts them to come to that point where they say, you know what, I want to hear more about that. I think I could believe that. And that's the work of God. And I've said this before, you know, one thing that does is it takes the pressure off us. You know, it's not a matter of, well, how'd I do today? No. You know, I went out in good faith, bumped into somebody, handed them a tract, tried to strike up a conversation, whatever I said, you know what? It's in God's hand what He does with that. And it's in that individual's heart whether they're going to listen, believe, consider it, be curious about it or not. God gives them that freedom to contemplate, but He's the one who's at work in their hearts. So we just need to be loving and gracious about that, realize that it's God who convinces, not me, not you. Second, remember it's God's Word that is quick and powerful. And this just kind of overlaps with what I've just said. It's not the plan. It's not logic. It's not the way you say it. It's the Word of God. And so to the extent that we can, we want to show people or read to people or quote people from the Bible. But, you know, the fact that you say, well, I don't know 126 verses, don't let that deter you. You know, share the truths of God's Word as best you know them. If you can read a verse, if you have a Bible with you or a tract with you, great. If you can quote some verses, great. If you can just share the truths as best you remember them, you know what? God can use that too. And God can take His Word and apply it in people's hearts, even if you don't have it exactly word perfect. And that's one of my burdens, is that sometimes with more elaborate soul-winning plans, people get so overwhelmed by, you know, there's dozens of verses to memorize and there's just a whole script. And you know, praise God if we can work through that and it'll help us. But you know what? If you don't know that, tell what you know. Tell what God has done in your life. You know, share a couple of key verses that the Lord has used to stir your heart and let God use that. Don't say, well, I don't know enough verses. I don't know the plan well enough, so I just can't say anything. You know, the devil will love that. He'll love you for it, right? You know, every excuse you can come up with why I shouldn't witness. You know, and God's intention is that we would witness whatever it is that we know at whatever point we're at. And so our goal is just to kind of explain the Word of God, to illustrate it, you know, help people understand it, and apply it, show them how it relates to them. Third, remember that God loves the person to whom you are speaking, you know, whatever his background is. Whatever his attitude is, you know, he or she might be surly and kind of gnarly and, you know, maybe not seemingly the most likable person in the world, but you know what? There are tons of surly, gnarly, not very likable people who have heard the gospel and been saved, and their lives have been transformed. You know, so we just need to look at everyone, whether they fit our mold or not, whether they're naturally the kind of person that we're drawn to or not, and just say, you know, here's a person that God loves. Here's a person for whom Christ died, and I need to love them too. And I need to show them the love of Christ, and to the extent that they'll allow, share with them the gospel. And so we need to speak the truth clearly and unapologetically. Okay, I mean, we can't be so consumed with being nice and loving that we water down the truth. I mean, there comes a point where you have to say, you know what, the penalty for sin is hell forever, and it's not a pleasant place. You know, you can't just kind of whitewash over some of the sobering truths of the gospel. And even if people sometimes react to that and say, well, I can't believe God would ever do that, you know, all you can say is, well, you know, that is what God says in the Bible. You know, can I show that to you? And you know, so we've got to strike that balance of we're compassionate, we are loving, we are kind, we don't want to, in our own selves, get in the way of what God is doing, but we do need to speak the truth clearly. And without apology. You know, we don't have to say, yeah, I'm sorry that God is so hard on sinners. You know, no. God is hard on sinners, but He offers them the gift of eternal life. I mean, you know, we just need to speak the way God says it and share it clearly with people. Next point I have there, remember that salvation involves turning from sin and self. Now, sometimes people will go up to someone and say, hey, do you want to go to heaven? You know, well, now, there are skeptics out there who won't even talk about it, but what person is going to say, no, you know, I think I'd prefer to go to hell? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And so we can say, well, you know what, if you just say these words, pray this prayer. Now, we wouldn't say it this way, but, you know, sometimes people are so intent on getting a response so they can kind of feel good that, you know, hey, this person, you know, and it kind of comes across to that person, well, all I got to do is just listen to this little talk they're giving me, say a few words, and I'm good for life. And eternal life. You know, and they might say that, and we might feel like, well, there they made a profession of faith. But you know, if they don't understand the gospel, and that means understanding that, you know, I'm a sinner. You know, and if you're going to trust Christ and be saved, you got to come to the grips with the reality that you are a sinner. And it's a problem. And it's putting you on a pathway to hell. And if we just kind of skip over some parts of the gospel, if we skip over the reality that Christ died on the cross and shed His blood for you, if we just kind of say, well, you know, certainly you want Jesus in your heart, don't you? You know, and He loves you and He cares for you. Well, you know, why don't you just pray this prayer and you'll be saved? And sadly, there are times when people give the gospel almost that simplistically. Obviously, I'm exaggerating, but I mean, you know, really missing the heart and thrust of the gospel. There are certain truths that I think need to be presented. You know, people differ on to what extent, but, you know, we'll just touch on some of the key things that you have to help the person understand and come to grips with and be honest about. And absent those things, can you really say they have believed the gospel, or they've just believed that there's a kindly grandfatherly figure in heaven who has said, I'll take care of you if you'll kind of tell me that's okay with you? And probably what we've done now is help them get comfortable in their lost condition. And that's not something we want to be guilty of. So we need to bring folks to that realization that, you know what, I have a problem, and it's sin, and I am in jeopardy because of it. So salvation involves a turning from sin and self, but it's also a turning to Christ. You know, we don't want to hinder the gospel because we're combative, argumentative, too forceful, whatever. You know. But on the other hand, the goal isn't to make the person like me. The goal isn't to make the person like our church. Now, frankly, I hope they like me. I hope they like our church. I hope they like all of you. Okay, I'm not saying we go out there seeking to make enemies. But you know, the point is not to ingratiate ourselves to them, but to turn them to the Lord Jesus and, you know, and introduce people to our Savior and share with them what He has done. So, you know, we want to be truthful and honest about the gospel and help them to see that sin is a problem in their lives. And that there is one, Christ. Not me, not our church, but Christ is the one who is the answer to their problems. And if we in our church can help them to that end, great. If I can share the truth with you and help you to that end, great. But you know, my goal for you is that you would see Jesus and that you would trust in Him as your Savior. And so we've always got to have that kind of that underlying thought that, you know, how this person responds to me isn't the issue. How do they respond to the Lord Jesus? And I've got to be willing to say what needs to be said and urge them in the direction that turns their attention to Him. Now, I mentioned that, you know, it's good to cover certain key aspects of the gospel. It's helpful to have some sort of an outline in mind, if you will. And so I give you one example here on your handout. And, you know, I've jotted down, I think, on your handout, maybe one verse with each point, and we could make a whole list of verses for each point. And many of those verses would be verses that most of us here would know. I mean, maybe not word perfect, but pretty close, you know, would be our familiar verses. And it's good to have some of those things in your mind and kind of connect it up with points of an outline just to help you walk through it and help you make sure you focus folks on, you know, those key certain points. But again, the goal isn't to have you think I've got to be this level of prepared before I can share the gospel. We just need to witness whatever we know. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were challenged by the high priest and some of his cohorts to stop preaching the gospel. And they said this in Acts 4:20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And if nothing else, we just need to speak what God has shown us, what He has done in our lives. Give that testimony and tell them what we understand about the gospel and encourage people to consider it. I remember the story, this wasn't somebody that I was with, but it was, I think I was in a soul-winning class or something like that, and some of the people were very naturally bold, and some of the people were very naturally timid. And one of the folks that fell on the timid side of the spectrum, and I commend people who, you know, engaging in cold conversations doesn't come naturally, I don't think, to many of us, but some people it really is a stretch, you know, and yet willing to take that stretch. And they got out and they knocked on somebody's door and kind of fumbled through some introduction and they didn't know what else to say, so they took out this tract and it happened to be much longer than this one and they said, "Could I just read this to you?" And the person said, "Well, okay." And so they started reading. You know, "Friends, have you heard the good news? News which can..." And they read this entire little booklet. And they got down to the end and said, you know, "So will you decide to depend on Jesus as your personal Savior right now and become a recipient of the good news?" And the person said, "Yes. If so, sincerely pray." I mean, that's literally what they did. They were so nervous. And they just literally read the tract to the person. And the person said, "Yes." And they read to them, "Well, then pray something like this." And the person trusted the Lord. You know, we just need to do it, okay? We just need to get out there. You know, if it's something you're uncomfortable, just have some tracts with you, and hand them to somebody. Even if you say, you know, maybe they'll think you're mute or something. But you know, do what we can. Whatever God has equipped you to this point, we need to do what we can do, and you'll be amazed at how God will use that. We had somebody here, was it NBT or one Sunday, that came in and somebody had handed this lady a tract down at Walmart. Just handed her a tract, had our church name on it. She showed up. You know, things like that happen. If we will be faithful. I think I've told you the story before about the people in our church out in Oregon. And we did door hangers kind of akin to what we did here. Put the door hangers on these people's doors. They stuck it in the drawer. Probably because the drawer was closer than the trash can. And the lady's sister, who was a believer or at least a churchgoer, came for a visit and said, "So, where do you guys go to church?" And the lady who lived in the house said, she opened up the door, "We go here." You know? And they came that Sunday, and they got saved, and they were added to the church. You know, I mean, you just don't know what the Lord's going to use if we will be faithful. So don't say, you know, I'm not prepared enough, I'm not ready enough, I don't know enough verses, I don't whatever. You know, those are just excuses, and we all know them because we all use them. But, you know, we ought to be willing and let God use that. So let's go through just this this basic outline quickly, and then next week we'll elaborate a little bit on it. First is explain the problem of sin. And again, this is one of many outlines, but we have to help people understand the concept of sin. You know, so a verse that many of us will use is, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And there's different ways to help the person understand that and to explain it and to illustrate it. You know, we might use Ecclesiastes 7:20, I believe it is. It says, "For there's not a just man upon the earth who does right and sinneth not." And, you know, the sin is a transgression of the law. And there are just different statements from the Word of God that we can present to people to help them understand that, you know, there's a problem of sin. That we fall short of what a holy God expects. And you know, you can elaborate on that in a million different ways, but somehow or other we need to help people understand the problem of sin. And we need to help them understand the penalty of sin. That, okay, you have a problem. And you know, the goal of in these is to, as I mentioned, explain, illustrate, and apply. You know, help them understand it, bring it to life, and apply. Help them to see. If we're talking about sin, we want them to see that, you know what, and I'm a sinner. You know, I mean, there's a problem of sin. And it's not just a problem that everybody else has. You know, it's a problem for each one of us, and that includes you. So, you know, our goal in that first point is to help them understand what sin is. And you know, sometimes you'll talk to somebody and you'll say the word sin, and they'll go, "Oh, you don't have to tell me, I'm a sinner, I know it." You know, they understand that fully. You probably don't need to spend a lot of time making the point. They get it. You know, and then you move on to the next point. So, you know, and that is the penalty of sin. And many of us are familiar with Romans 6:23, and we'll talk a little more about that verse in a few minutes here, but the wages of sin is death. And then help them understand what that means by death. It doesn't just mean physical death, but it means eternal death. Separated from God forever in a horrible place called hell that the Bible describes in very vivid ways as a place of fire and brimstone and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that's the kind of thing we want to help them understand. You say, "Well, you're trying to scare them, Pastor." No, I'm just trying to share with them. I mean, I guess, I suppose in a sense, yes. But I mean, I'm just sharing with them what the Bible says and things that Jesus said, you know, that Jesus presented. Sometimes people will say, "Well, Jesus, you know, it's in the Bible, but it's got to be said by Jesus." You know, well, Jesus said all that needs to be said. If that's where they're going, you know, there's no problem showing them things that Jesus said that make it very, very clear that there's a penalty for sin and it's hell. And we need to help them understand that. And again, in the sense of application, where we want to bring them to is the realization that, one, I have the problem of sin, I am a sinner. And we're doing this not in a condescending way, like, you know, "You're an ugly sinner, I'm a righteous..." No, you know, I mean, you share with them, you know, me too. I mean, I had to come to grips with the same reality. And so you want them to understand that they have the problem of sin, just as you do, and that there's a penalty for that. And if they've not trusted Christ, then what that means for them is eternity in hell. And that's the one that sometimes is hard for us to say real straightforwardly, because, you know, we feel like, how are they going to react to that? But somehow we have to say it. And we have to say it. You can't take away the truth of it because it's true. And if they don't recognize the peril and the penalty of sin, then salvation loses some of its appeal, right? You know, I mean, saved from what? Saved from an eternity in hell apart from God. And, you know, penalty, punishment, peril, those are good words to use. Those are biblical kind of words to use to help them recognize the significance. So there's that problem of sin, there's the penalty of sin, but then there's the payment for sin. You know, and here's where we're getting into the good news. And a lot of folks will say, you know, this is the great opportunity to say, you know, we've talked about things that are the bad news up to this point, but, you know, there's good news. That's what gospel means. It means good news, and here's the good news that God, through the Lord Jesus, has made it possible for your sin to be forgiven and for you to be spared the punishment for your sin and to receive eternal life. And, you know, you just glory in the gospel. All those things that we're excited about, you know, here's a great chance to just share them in an excited way. Because it is exciting for them. And that Jesus has extended that prospect to them as well. And again, there's, you know, many, many verses that that teach that principle. And we just would want to share some passages of Scripture, or at least the principles from some passages of Scripture as best we remember them about the payment for sin. And then the fourth point that, you know, just in my way of thinking, I look at it as explain the promise of salvation or the promise of eternal life. You know, and usually I'll just quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm usually trying to emphasize the belief aspect. You know, I love Jesus' words to Martha in John 11. You know, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never, never die. Who said that? Jesus said that. And then He said, believest thou this? And that's a great verse to use to kind of lead people then to the point we'll talk at a couple weeks down the road, but, you know, encouraging them to respond, say, you know, Jesus asked Martha, she believed it. Do you believe it? You believe that Jesus is the resurrection? I mean, that's where we want to try to go. We want to help them understand they've got a problem, sin. That sin has consequences. There's a penalty for that sin. But Jesus has paid that penalty. And those who believe in Him can receive the promise of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, and we want to help them see. And that's not by the works of righteousness that they've done. It's not by good deeds. There's going to be no boasting in heaven. But it's simply by faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so that's, to me, is just kind of the main flow of where we want to take people. And you can, frankly, do that. Now, you can't answer all their questions, but in just a few minutes, you can at least share those points. You know, and that may just be an initial opportunity, and then you're going to come back later and share a little bit more, but at least it doesn't take long to just address, even in a simplistic manner, those key points. And if the person seems to be, if you're sitting down at the kitchen table, you know, now you've got a little bit of time, probably. Especially if you're sitting down there with your Bible open in front of you and you can say, take a look at this verse, and you can have them read it for themselves. I mean, now you'll probably have some time to develop those points in greater detail. But at least we help them see that there's a problem, and they have it, and it's a problem of sin. And there's consequences. There's a penalty for that sin. But Jesus has made the payment for the sin, and He promises that if you believe in Him, you can have everlasting life. You can be forgiven. You can be spared from the penalty you deserve. And that, to me, is kind of the central things a person needs to understand to meaningfully believe the gospel. Now, they may or may not really understand them, but that's God's work. But our goal is to explain clearly, address questions, show them from the Word of God, you know, and then encourage them to believe, or at least to consider. And with the intention that as they grapple with it, the Lord would bring them to that point of saving faith. And then, as I said, then we'll move on another time to trying to encourage them to respond in faith, encouraging them to make a decision to believe Christ. Last thing, and then we'll wrap up here. I think it's good to have kind of an outline verse, you know, even with that plan of salvation. You know, one of the courses that I went through talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, you know, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again according to the Scripture, you know, and it says, and this you believed. You know, so it kind of has that idea there of the idea of sin, the penalty for sin. Christ had to die for sin. And you know, that works. Romans 6:23 is the verse that I tend to favor. You know, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To me, the whole gospel is right there in that verse. You know, I mean, it has the idea of sin. The wages of sin is death. It talks about the penalty for sin. But the gift of God, it emphasizes, you know, not by works, it's a gift, and it's through Jesus Christ. He's the one who paid the penalty for the sin. So to me, even if I were kind of working through those outline points, what I would tend to do, especially if you're in a position to have the person read a verse. And I think it's good if you can, to ask them to actually read for themselves or read to them, but help them make the connection that what you're saying is from God's Word. It's not just, you know, your thoughts. What you're saying is from God's Word. So if you have a Bible or if you have a tract that has, you know, a verse in it, even just show them that, you know, here's what the Bible says, even if you're putting your finger on it, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then just talk about, take it apart piece by piece and talk with them about it. I put on the bottom of your handout there a little chart, and I've got in my files a guy advocates, you know, giving the gospel using Romans 6:23. You know, I mean, and he's pages, you know, just taking from Romans 6:23. And what he says is, you know, and I think this is true, a lot of people are visual learners, you know, and if you can get somebody to sit down, and so, you know, what he says is, you know, so you kind of make this little chart, you know, and you've got the Bible open there to Romans 6:23, and you just pull the words out and you know, you talk about, okay, the wages of sin. You know, and you talk about that, and you kind of fill out the drawing as you go, and it kind of helps them kind of come with you as you're going. And it's a little bit like the bridge illustration, and my intention tonight is not to, you know, build this elaborate scheme, but you can look at the picture, and you could use it just from what you understand of that verse and what's there, and you might find it helpful. You know, on the one side, you've got the wages of sin is death. That's where we are. You know, and then on the other side, but there's the gift of God. And it's eternal life. That's where we want to help the person come to that point. And it's through the cross, through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, and that involves confessing that I am a sinner, admitting that, you know, the wages of my sin is death. And then it's believing, but there is a gift that God offers through Christ, and it's eternal life. And so that's what this little picture comes from. And, you know, and again, my point is to say there's not a one-size-fits-all. There's not the way to give the gospel. You know, the gospel is rich in its truth, and we certainly want to address the key understandings that are part of really being able to say, I understand the gospel. But, you know, how we get there, and every person is different in where they need something emphasized, and they have, you know, past thoughts about things, and those may be accurate thoughts, and it's real easy to help them understand a particular point. Those may be woefully inaccurate thoughts, you know, built on false religion, false teaching, no teaching, whatever, and we need to help them, and it might take a little bit more explanation to help them understand what we're saying. And, you know, God's Spirit will guide us in that if we are just willing to be used, you know, and willing to be outside our comfort zone a little bit bold. A little bit willing to step out and at least attempt by God's grace to initiate a conversation that's moving towards spiritual things. And, you know, folks, if we'll do that, God will use it. His Word does not return empty and void. You know, when God's Word goes out, it affects people. Now they may be resisting, but it affects people. And some people it affects in such a way that they turn to Christ in saving faith. And sometimes He even gives us the privilege of observing it as He does that work. And that's an exciting thing. But personally, you know, anytime someone gives me the opportunity to speak a word of witness, to me that's exciting. You know, whether they ultimately believe it right then and there or not, you know, I'm just thankful that God's Word has gone out. You know, and when we go out as a church and we pass out literature, we give out, we put door hangers out, something that maybe has the gospel on it. You know, I'm just thankful that God's Word is being placed in people's hands. And some will read and some won't. And some will believe and some won't. But, you know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so we are putting the power of God out there before people's eyes, into their minds, and we can believe then that God is using that in their lives. So that's my goal for us, is that we would look for opportunities, that we would take opportunities, that we would be sensitive to the opportunities God gives, that we'd go looking and seeking and even kind of systematically trying to find occasions to share the gospel with people. Because if we never do, you know, we won't see somebody saved. I mean, God might save them some other way, but you know what, if we want to be part of the rejoicing about it, you know, then we've got to be part of the sharing of it and the giving of the gospel and actively doing that. And it's right. It's commanded, you know, and it will become. Even though, you know, some days you may not feel like it, you know, if you will open your mouth and allow the Lord to speak through you, there's nothing like it. It's a joyful thing, and it's really a bolster to your Christian walk, I think. You know, just an encouragement to know that, you know what, this is why God saved me. I mean, among many things. But, you know, it was so that I could then be used by Him to reach out to others with the gospel. Let's close with prayer. Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the privilege that